Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Fat Lot of Good podcast. I'm your host, Helen Thorne. I'm a comedian, I'm a writer, I'm owner of Juicy Jugs and Wobbly Thighs, and it is a delight to have you with me today. We are very lucky to start this podcast with the wonderful, fabulous Clemmie Telford. Hello, Clemmie. Welcome.
Hello, Helen.
Hey, we're sitting in my kitchen. We've got a lot of biscuits, both vegan and ones full of butter. And I'm thrilled to have Clemmie. Clemmie, I've known for how long now, Clemmie?
Quite a while, you know.
Yes, we've done lots of things together. We have done wonderful, empowering motherhood talks.
We've drunk Suave.
We have drunk a lot. I love Suave.
That's a personal joke.
I love a white wine. But Clemmie and I also have got our kit off together a couple of years ago for the wonderful Warrior Woman project.
Oh, yeah,
project.
We did, didn't we?
Yeah, when you were just pregnant.
I was and couldn't tell anyone and felt hideous.
Yeah, that's always a nice feeling. Yeah. When you're in that sort of...
bloated bit.
Bloaty, sicky...
And you take your clothes off.
Hurty boobs you get. Yes, exactly. But for anybody who doesn't know Clemmie Telford, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, this is always tricky when people do this. I am Clemmie Telford on Instagram. I have a blog called Mother of All Lists, which is a collection of first-person stories about everything from fertility to divorce to work-life balance, the whole lot. I'm a mum of three, and I am learning to find positivity with my body.
Excellent, excellent. We'll just get straight into it. Describe your body.
Oh, wow, what a question. I also have big boobs.
They're very nice. I'm looking at them now, listener. Yeah,
they're particularly big at the moment because I'm still breastfeeding, so they're most massive. And how do you describe your body? I don't want to tell you what size I am because that feels irrelevant.
Yes, exactly.
But then it's kind of interesting. I'm a size 12 to 14. And I have dark skin and I'm quite athletic. And this body, as I said, has grown three babies. So hats off to it.
Now, and your last baby, your most recent baby, yeah. Is a little gorgeous girl called Greta. Now, you had her at home, is that
yeah,
right?
I had my second and my third baby at home.
Oh, how fantastic.
Yeah.
And how did that sort of change your relationship with your body, having that sort of...
It changed it absolutely fundamentally. So, yeah, two planned home births after a quite complicated first birth, and I did them both with just breathing them out, which sounds really hippie, but it's absolutely possible. However, once you've done that, you have utmost respect for what your body can do. Mm. I remember after Woody, my second, thinking, God, if I can breathe a baby out of this body, I can actually do anything.
Yeah.
And it's the first time you really realise that women are definitely better than men.
I would agree. I think that's the podcast done, actually. No, I've had both. We're sitting in my lounge right now, and this is where I gave birth to my son. And I do think that there is something quite extraordinary about, and I must say I'm very lucky. Everything sort of worked. Mm. But I just breathed Hugo out. I mean, it did fucking hurt. This is a really
frustrating thing. Like, well, it's just because you have a home birth. It is the most intense, challenging thing you'll ever do. But I think... by the end of your pregnancy, you're so ready for it. You're psyched up for it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's the best thing ever, isn't it?
It does feel like you've sort of been working towards this moment because I think, you know, as a teenager, you have such a strange relationship with your body. Mm. You know, you grow these boobs that feel really foreign. You've got hair on your body, you get pimples, you get stretch marks. And that relationship changed so dramatically after an experience like that. And I'm sure it's the same if you do a marathon or you do something where you overcome a great difficulty.
Yeah, when it proves its capacity, like its huge capacity to you. It might actually be my daughter's birthday last week, so I spent the day crying because I always do. I am for things like that. I'm really but I was trying to explain to my husband that high you get after giving birth is like nothing on earth, is it? And you're never going to get that kind of amazing feeling. And also with both of mine, I had pizza within about an hour of giving birth to them, and there is nothing more joyful than cramming pizza in your face with a newborn tucked by your boob.
Going back, so how was your relationship earlier on? So like when you were a teenager, how did you sort of feel?
So on reflection, my attitude towards my body was pretty terrible, to be honest. I am one of five kids, and there's two other girls, and my mum, not all of them are very slim. And so I was very aware that I was the curvier one of the family with the bigger appetite. And then I went to a girls' school. There were 180 girls in my year, in each year. So it's like a mammoth hormone fest.
That's a lot of estrogen.
Yeah, it's a lot of estrogen, blind leading the blind. And yeah, it was definitely knew that I was in one of the bigger girls. And as soon as you get typecast that, it's a vicious cycle, isn't it? Because you're the last we pick for PE. And then if you don't, at that point, I hadn't discovered exercise and didn't have a good relationship with my body.
No, I was the same. And I look back at me, I was always the last to be picked for everything.
It's so like you can feel it in your core when you think
you
about
it. You carry that. It is really tattooed on you. Like it is a baggage that you carry with you. Even when I exercise today, like I went for a run this morning, you still have that with you. Who's looking at me? And you know, you overcome it, you know, slowly, but they really wound you.
And I think we're probably quite similar in that I was always creative and in that world, but it's not that hierarchy, is there, if you're the creative person? You're not the first to be picked for drama, so obviously.
Yeah.
But you are, there is that, definitely for my school, the sporty girls were the ones who ruled the roost, so
we had, well, I'm Australian, and so that was the creme de la creme, were the, as I like to affectionately call them, the country netball sluts. But yeah, I think that's the thing, and I think it's really interesting, and I really want to talk about this whole body positivity movement, is that although we can say that we love our bodies and we all want to champion them, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong in saying you still feel
all those feelings.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that I'm not aiming, I think body positivity, I can't imagine it's a place I'll ever get to. Some people talk about body neutrality, and I think that's where I want to be. Like, could I ever look in the mirror and respect my body, but I'm not gonna be like, I love it. I can't imagine that.
Yeah, that's.
Do you feel like you're genuinely in that place?
No, because I mean, today, and I'll be honest, I looked at myself in the mirror in the nude before I hopped into the shower. I thought, look, I'll give myself a good look, not on the inside bits. if you're listening, Ellie Gibson, I haven't had a look at my own vagina just yet. I'm on a journey there. I really am. But I looked at it, and I'm literally covered in stretch marks and marks and all those sort of things. And I'm proud of each of those. But yeah, I'm sure there's bits that I can improve. But I do love what I have now, and love my body more than I did than ever before, and that's been a really long
I guess it's
journey.
Stopping that negative. Yeah, I don't have those conversations with myself where I'm horrible about my body.
No, and I do, because I had really, I mean, I was blessed. I had stretch marks and I had really bad acne as a nice little topper. Plus being in the debate team and playing the cello. I mean, I was gifted. I mean, I was a bully's wet dream. I was back then. I was weird.
No, you weren't weird.
I was waiting. This weird. I'm peaking now. But it was a very hard time. And I remember looking in the mirror going, I had so many pimples, and just crying and not leaving the house and not going to parties and not going to things.
But the only perk for me of that time is that I did have big boobs back then, which meant you could get served quite early.
See, that's yes,
that was
the girls,
I could get
helped.
Fags and alcohol quite young
and hide them in your boobs. Hide them in your bra.
So there were, it wasn't all bad.
No.
Ooh.
Now, I want to talk about now, because you've spoken really openly on Instagram about exercise and also throwing out your scales. They were two big things that have really resonated with your followers.
Yeah, so actually the first step towards that was having a daughter. Mm. So Greta was born last February, and a strange thing happened where people were talking about her body a lot. So I breed really chunky babies, which is absolutely
gorgeous.
They're gorgeous.
So
and
lovely.
My boys were chunky and people talked about it. But Greta, when people started talking about her thighs and her chunkiness, I could feel myself recoiling.
Yeah.
I was like, hold up, there's definitely something going on here. And at that point, I just suddenly realised that I needed to deal with my own issues as a mother so as not to carry them over to her. And so that was and it's not that boys don't have issues with their bodies, but it was a very stark wake-up moment for me that whatever my feelings are about her body and my body, it needed to stop. Not that long after that, I was talking to someone, I think it might even have been Clemmie Hooper, about weight and scales, and said to her that I weigh myself every day, thinking nothing of it. And she was like, you do what? And I was like, well, is that weird? And she's like, that is terrible. And I didn't even think that it was a thing.
Mm.
And off the back of that conversation, I got rid of my scales. And part of it, I was just going through the motions of doing it and didn't really believe that it would have a massive impact. But it's changed everything, actually.
Mm.
You don't realise how much standing on those scales, getting the number, whatever number it is, was shaping everything.
Yeah.
And again, on reflection, I weighed myself within about 24 hours of giving birth each time, which is not healthy, is it? But the weight loss is fantastic.
Isn't it? Quite rapid.
You're like, oh, a couple of stone, that's never going to... But it's terrible that that is a moment of joy in amongst... You've just given birth. Why are you worried about the number on... Anyway.
Yeah.
I got rid of the scales, and that's been huge. And then I've discovered CrossFit, which was the first time ever that I found a form of exercise that I don't have to force myself to do.
Yeah.
That I do because I love it. And Bryony Corden talks about it in her book, but exercising from a pace of self-love rather than self-loathing. Because those hours spent in gyms going, oh yeah, you know, in 6 weeks' time I'm going to look like this, or I'm going to have lost this, and you never quite get there, and then you fall off the wagon, don't you? Whereas I'm... do it now because it makes my head feel good.
I know, it is the best high, apart from giving birth, obviously. That's quite good, but that's not as easily done. But no, I'm the same, and I had such a terrible relationship with sport. Again, was never really good at it. Did it because you had to. It's kind of compulsory to Australian life. But now I can't wait to do it. I'm doing much more sort of weights and all that sort of stuff. And I have thrown the scales out as well.
Have you?
Yeah, and I just think, and I had to get weighed the other day. I had a 40-year check and everything else was fine in terms of, you know, blood sugar levels and all that sort of stuff. But I am overweight. But the woman said, look, you're healthy, you eat well.
Did she?
Yeah, don't overthink it. And I've been to doctor's appointments before when they've gone, look, you've really got to lose some weight.
Yeah.
And it was really refreshing. I'm okay.
I think when you have a 1 year check with, so after the 1 year check with Woody, and they for some reason wanted to weigh me, and the nurse, who actually, as it happens, was curvy herself, was like, oh, you're overweight. And it's like, I cannot believe you're having this conversation with me, like a year postpartum. I know you should be headed back to your normal weight, but why are we talking about this? You're not asking how I am, if I'm exercising.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. I know that I'm healthy in myself.
Yeah, and also it's just about a feeling now. I used to do it by clothes size and all these numbers that you used basically as a stick to beat yourself with. And now it's just like, no, I feel great. I've been outside or I've lifted some weights and then and it is transformational. Yeah. And I'm like, why aren't they teaching this at school? Why didn't I tell this to my, you know, 12-year-old self, basically?
I know. Now, actually, I consider myself quite sporty. I do love sport. It was either, are you a netball girl or are you into tennis? When now, hopefully, there's so many more types of exercise available that everyone can find their thing, can't they?
Yeah, exactly. I think there's such a, and the team sports and winning and all that sort of stuff. When you're doing weights and you're doing running, it's just for yourself and you run at your own pace and all that sort of thing. And I found also, I've tried diets before, but I just feel it's just all set up to fail.
Yeah.
And there's all these limitations. And now I just exercise with no goal other than having a lovely time.
Because, I mean, hand in hand with the positive movement is the intuitive eating movement as well, which is what I'm really into. It's changed everything for me this year. Just taking all, you realise you've got these complex rules around food. I was like, I can have chocolate on this day. I only have pasta at the weekends. And bit by bit, I'd accumulated this complex thing. And I got to the point, again, after having Greta, where I was actually like, do I eat carbs? Is it good to be having the fibre? Is it good for the GI? And I'd written rules for myself that I actually then couldn't even navigate.
This podcast is sponsored by the fabulous Booby Doo. They have the best range of sports bras. Whether you're doing a yoga class, a jog around the block, or running a marathon, they will have a bra to suit you and your boobs. I'm a big juicy G cup and I have lots of gorgeous bras from them that keep my girls supported. Just go to boobydoo.co.uk to find your perfect bra today. That's boobydoo.co.uk. And do follow them on social media too. That's at boobydoo bras.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You mentioned intuitive eating, Clemmie. Can you tell us a bit more about what that is? I don't know what it is, listener.
I mean, for me, it's an absolute game changer and sits alongside body positivity. It really is stripping everything back, taking away all the rules around food and learning to trust your body. The fact is, your body will self-regulate, and you can actually see it in your children. They will have weeks when they feel like they're stuffing their faces, and then weeks when they don't eat very much, and that is because that is what your body needs at that time. So if you take away all the rules and go, right, actually, if you want that brownie, have that brownie, as soon as you allow yourself, quite often you don't end up wanting it anymore because it's not a thing. It's learning to really be in touch with your body, understand what being full means, which is something I've definitely wasn't in touch with, and we've taught ourselves out of that. But you go, my body is full now, I'm going to stop eating, which is
mind-blowing.
But it really is. But we are brought up to clear our plates, to finish our plates. And I really watch myself do it with the kids.
Yeah.
Yes, they need to eat their vegetables, but actually forcing yourself to eat beyond the point of being full. I really struggle to leave an empty plate.
Yeah.
I literally will cram that last bit in because it's there.
Yeah.
And yeah, so learning when you're full and learning when you're hungry too, because what intuitive eating teaches you, that if you start starving yourself or withholding from food, which we all know we do, you then get to that dip often at like 4 PM when you're then cramming food in your face, standing in the fridge, shoving it in because you've been hungry.
Yeah.
And actually, if you'd have eaten when you were first hungry at 11 o'clock, probably you would have eaten a much more level amount. So yeah, it almost doesn't need a title because it is going right back and just going, listen to your body. It knows what it wants. Because I do find that, like, if you've overindulged over Christmas, then my body will naturally crave green vegetables and things like that.
Mm.
There are a couple of people who have been really influential to me in discovering this movement. One of them being Laura Thomas, PhD, as she is on Instagram, and she's got a book out called Just Eat It and a podcast, and also Rooted Living on Instagram.
Oh, wow.
And they both talk a lot about this. And yeah, it's an absolute game changer.
I think so. And because so many of the diets and so many of the things are about hard and fast rules, and you eat, you know, 200 calories at this, or, you know, a handful of nuts at that. And your body doesn't work like that.
I've done all of those diets, all of them.
Yeah.
And then that's the thing about this complicated layering of rules. Like, do I have carbohydrates, or should, you know, I don't know. I didn't know. Couldn't see the wood for the trees anymore.
Yeah.
And there just no food should have rules around it, right?
Mm.
Yeah, I would never eat pasta during the week.
What is that?
Because I just got this thing that I shouldn't.
Oh, wow.
And I also would never allow myself to have toast. And now, once I started this eating journey, I then, like, just let myself have toast. And funnily enough, I don't want to have it all the time anymore.
Yes.
Because it's, you know, not so exciting once it's not forbidden food.
Yeah, exactly right.
So I went on holiday over Christmas and came back and had to second guess myself, because my usual thing, having indulged on holiday, would be then to rein it back in, and it was January. And I actually, yeah, had to check in with myself and go, no, this isn't the way it goes anymore.
Mm.
You've done what you've done. Carry on as you are now.
Yeah.
Make good choices. And but you, it's habitual, isn't it? We're all attuned to, oh, coming up to summer, we're going to shape up. Or
I know, exactly. And it's all punishment. And and also the whole body here. I mean, let's not shy away from that either. Is that, you know, the shame of that. And I remember as a teenager having hairy legs and having this chat. I mean, against the law in Australia to even have bloody body hair. Yeah, I think so. And that you need to be able to barbecue a sausage and not have any hair on your legs. But yeah, I just remember kids at school saying, you know, are you a feminist? Are you doing some protest? I'm like, no, but you're not asking the boys this.
No.
Like, yeah, as I did my shop.
Would you leave your arm? Pits hairy?
Yeah, I do all the time.
But out of laziness or out of...
Oh, like, I had feminism? A pure laziness.
That's not the same.
Oh, I've been found out, listener. Oh, no.
I'm not suggesting you might be lazy.
Oh, occasionally. But
you've not grown out your hair.
No, I occasionally, you know, I probably should give it a go. And, like, because they got so hairy, like, they're going to get stuck in the razor.
Oh, gosh, you do let it go quite far then, if you're at that point.
Yes, I can plait it. They're lovely, lovely bunches that I'm there. Anyway. Let's say something positive about body positivity. What makes you feel sexy, Clemmie Telford?
Exercise does.
Yeah.
Yeah, exercise.
Getting your huffy puffy.
Yeah, and sunshine.
Yeah.
The sunshine makes me feel good.
Another question I want to ask. What is the most favourite thing you want to put in your body? What's the most favourite thing? Is it booze? Is it food?
Definitely not booze. It's food. I love food.
Yeah.
All kinds of food. Any of it.
You're not going vegan like me. I'm mainly vegan at the moment, listener.
You know what, Helen? You have influenced me.
Mm.
I've been thinking about it.
Yeah.
I think I'm not. I wouldn't go vegan. I wouldn't go vegetarian. But I'm definitely being conscious of my choices and trying to make meat something that's a treat rather than a thing you just consume without mindlessly.
Yeah. And do you know what it's done for me now that I'm such a good person, such a good vegan. I don't know why I'm doing that voice, because that's what vegans sound like. Is that it's made me cook different food.
Yes.
Because I would always cook spaghetti bolognese, I would always have sausages, I'd always cook exactly the same things. And actually transitioning, oh, what am I saying? When I become vegan.
Who are you?
I know, I don't know. Goodness me, with your vegan biscuits and your funny underarm hair. But yes, it's made me cook and think about food differently. Now, I want to also ask you about your most embarrassing body moment.
Do you know what? I don't really embarrass about things like this very easily. Oh, no. I don't know what it is.
Now it is. Now it's coming.
I was once back home at my dad's house with all my siblings and fell asleep on the sofa and then woke myself up farting. Which is embarrassing.
Oh, that is brilliant.
Yeah.
You must have quite a range.
Yeah. what else? And Clemmie Hooper again had to art direct a shop for me after I'd had Greta, where... Oh, no, I should go back. Clemmie Hooper was my midwife for Greta.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw a poo come out of my bum and then tried to take a lovely photo of Greta and I, and was like, I couldn't work out what she was doing when she was trying to get the shot, and she was trying to stop the floater being in the in the shot for me. Amazing, which is a true friend.
Oh, that is a lovely friend for life, that she's seen all your bits. Yeah. And more.
Yeah,
not everyone has seen your poo, but she has.
She has.
I was going to share an embarrassing moment. I once, when I was drunk as a uni student, got so drunk that I decided to photocopy my tits.
Oh yeah.
In the college library, and it's not a great thing.
It's quite hard to do.
It's not, yes, it is. And also, when it comes out, they just look like two enormous fried eggs.
Yeah, it's not going to be pretty.
Because your nipples kind of go very wide, and then I just saw all the underboob and yes. like the one hair. Oh,
wasn't what you were hoping for.
No.
Have you ever tried to weigh your boobs as a fellow big boob person?
No.
Oh, I have.
Oh.
It shows how, again, body dysmorphic I've been. Because if you've got big boobs, I'm pretty sure they weigh quite a lot.
Huge amounts.
So I've definitely tried to get them on a scale before.
I've done it by holding them. Like, I lifted them up so I felt...
So you have tried to weigh your boobs?
Yeah, I have. How did you actually do it?
Well, I tried to put the scales on the table and then try to flop them. It didn't give me the answer that I was hoping for, but I think they're a couple of pounds each.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that's a take home for the listener. If you've weighed your tits, why don't email us?
The way you do it is to do with putting it in water, because you know that if you displace liquid, that's a way of, there's a sum to then work out.
You've thought about this a lot.
I really want to know how much my boobs weigh.
Oh my God, that's amazing. That's homework for me for next podcast, actually. I'm going to weigh my boobs and let the listeners know. Now, I want to talk to you about, because one of the things that I think really sticks with you is what people have said about your body. And can you tell me either the best or worst thing someone has said about your body?
Well, growing up, I'm one of five kids and I've got brothers. So they were pretty awful and calling me horrible nicknames. But the best thing, well, actually, we were watching a video the other day of when my boys first met Greta, and it's a lovely thing, and they're all kissing her, and they're like, and then Bertie, my eldest, is like, oh, but mummy, your tummy is still so big, isn't it? I was like, yes, darling, it is. I only gave birth 24 hours ago, and then I'm going, but it's not that bad. Look, it's doing quite well. So that, thanks, Bert.
Yeah, kids are great like that, aren't they? Yeah. I've had three brothers, and they've all said lovely things to me, like, oh, God, I hope my daughters don't get your thighs. Lovely.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, good. I mean, yeah, anyway.
Not at all damaging.
No, not at all. Anyway, but I think, the best thing people have said to me is just, you look great.
Yeah.
Not you've lost weight all those sort of things.
I don't think we should be commenting on people's bodies full stop anymore. And when you start calling yourself out on it, because that is often with female friends, you know, oh God, you've lost so much weight, you look great. That shouldn't be a conversation. And it's really hard because you do feel great when people say that.
Yeah. I know, it is. It's like that. You feel like you've won something.
Yeah, you
like
do.
It's some kind of battle. I remember going back to Australia a few years ago, and I said to friends in the UK, I've got to lose a bit of weight and I've got to have a few gigs lined up. This is before the Scummy Mummies, because I said, that's the first
two things. What are you doing for work?
Yeah. Yeah, like, oh, you've lost weight. Oh, how's your comedy career? And I felt so, like, I had to prove myself. And that's a weird mindset that, like, oh, I have to be really successful and thin, basically. Happiness is just not enough these days.
Fat facts.
Oh. I'm going to impart some knowledge onto you, Clemmy Telford. And I have scanned the internet for a couple of interesting body facts. And the first one is, do you know that the average human body contains enough amount of fat to make 7 bars of soap?
That's hideous, isn't
it? I mean, it's a very strange thought that your body...
Mean? So all the fat...
Yes. Yes, you could make 7 bars of soap from your thighs and your tits and your tummy.
Mine would be mainly my tummy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. My I'm more the saddlebags. Is what you call them in the UK?
Yeah.
Yeah, around my chunky thighs.
Yeah.
Yeah,
thick,
I don't think.
Thick.
Oh, thick thighs.
So that's what they say.
Yes, or mermaid thighs, I like.
Oh.
And the other fun fact is that you have no sense of smell when you're sleeping.
So that, with fires, it must be a big problem that you don't smell the smoke.
Yes, or smell your husband's farts. That's what I was thinking. Maybe that keeps you together. Maybe that's a way of...
Yeah.
nature's way of keeping you together.
My husband would say, and vice versa.
Oh, are you a bed farter? Well, I mean, we all are, really.
Exactly.
I mean, there is no other joy.
Veganism affected your bowels?
Oh, I'm quite tooty, actually. Because I'm quite lentil heavy at the moment. I'm going quite heavy on the barley, pulses, exactly. A lot of kale and a lot of, yes, it is quite fragrant. It's a very, very earthy top notes to my trumps. Okay. So, yeah, anyway, there's a fat facts for you. You've got 7 bars of soap in fat and you have no sense of smell when you're sleeping.
The Hall of Fat Fame.
Now, I wanted to ask you who you think should be in the Hall of Fat Fame or who makes you feel fabulous. Have you got someone who inspires you or...
I should have prepped for this.
You should have. I mean, I did send you the questions.
My daughter,
about five.
Well, she's not fat though, is she? But I'm just saying that she's been the inspiration to sorting myself, my own attitudes out.
Fantastic. Then Greta. You're growing in our Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Excellent. I think she's an excellent start. She is the future.
Exactly.
Fatspiration.
Now, to finish the podcast, mm-hmm. I want to know what your mantra is. Or what do you live by?
I live by... regret something you've done, not something you haven't done,
mm-hmm.
which is always good for everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, those things when offers come through, you're like, oh, yeah, is that worth doing? Yeah, you'll never regret having a go at something.
Yeah.
That's my main one. And then I've got, inspired by Holly, the Yes Mum cards, I've got a big sign on my wall which says everything will be okay. And even in the worst moments, things always will be all right.
That's on my fridge.
Really?
I've got a Holly Yes Mum card. Everything will be okay.
Because it will.
It will be fine.
Because there's times when you're like blindsided and so deeply in this thing. And then actually quite often, 48 hours later, it's all lifted and you're in but you can't see the wood for the trees. So,
that's right.
She's a clever woman, that Holly.
She
Gibson.
Is. As Ellie Gibson once said to me, it'll be tomorrow's fish and chips paper. And that's it. Clemmy Telford, I was going to call you Clemmy Hooper. Well, Clemmy Hooper, other Clemmy. You've been an absolute delight. Thank you
so much
for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And where can people find you?
I'm at Clemmy_Telford on Instagram and my blog is Mother of All Lists.
Thank you very much. Well, and thank you, listener, for joining us on the Fat Lot of Good podcast. I've been Helen Thorne. The producer is Maddie Hickish and music by John Thorne. Please rate, review and subscribe to our podcast. We love you. Bye-bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.